Happy Father's Day. I know that Father's Day can bring mixed feelings and emotions depending on who you are. It's a happy day for some. It's a more difficult day for others. Maybe some of you haven't had the greatest father in the world, and to celebrate a day like this is tough. Maybe you don't even understand why. Maybe some of you have had your father go on ahead to glory, and on a day like this, you really miss him. Maybe some of you didn't really even have a dad in your life, and you can't understand, why do people make a fuss about Father's Day? And maybe some of you have wanted to be a dad, but that hasn't worked out. And maybe some of you have lost a child, and a day like this brings mixed emotions, reflecting on great memories, and at the same time, bringing some great sadness. Whoever you are, whatever Father's Day means to you, I want to remind you of this one truth of Scripture, where the Word of God, the Bible, reminds us that you have a Heavenly Father who has an undying love for you. Psalm 68 are recorded these words, that God will be a father to the fatherless. So regardless where you find yourself in life, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you. Because it's Father's Day, I thought I'd just share some dad thoughts with you. Not my dad thoughts. I took some time to read a few things, and I picked these out of what I read, and it's called Because I'm a Dad. Things like this, I think most of us can relate to this first one. Because I'm a dad, I hold the television remote control in my hand while I'm watching TV. And if things been misplaced, if I can't find the remote, I'll miss a whole show in order to try and relocate it. One dad said this. He said, one time I survived watching a TV show by holding a calculator in my hand because I'm a dad. Because I'm a dad, when I catch a cold, I need someone to bring me soup and take care of me as I lie in bed and moan because, you know, I'm a dad and I understand that nobody gets sick like a dad does, because I'm a dad. Because I'm a dad, don't ask me if you like the movie. Chances are, if you're crying at the end of it, I didn't like the movie. Because I'm a dad, why should I stop to ask for directions? I mean, that person doesn't know where I'm going. What kind of help are they going to be? Because I'm a dad. Because I'm a dad, I think what you're wearing is fine. I thought what you were wearing 5 minutes ago was fine. Yes, either pairs of shoes are fine. With the belt, without the belt, it's fine. Your hair looks fine. You look fine. Can we just go now? We're really late. Because I'm a dad. See, if roles of dads and men is important, it's important to our families, it's important to our church, and it's important to our kids. See, kids, I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. Kids need to see men rise up and be the godly men that God has called us to be. Does this mean we'll be perfect? Absolutely not. But we need to step in and fill the requirements that God has laid out for us to do and to be. And if you're listening this morning and you're not even a dad, or one day, you know, maybe a dad is way down in the future, or maybe you're playing the role of dad because you're a single mom, the truth I want to share with you will apply to all of us in our lives regardless, that God is looking for us to be the leaders to those around us. I read this story. It was an extremely hot, muggy, humid day in the city, and the bus was crowded with people, and people were tired and miserable. It was probably the end of a long, hot day. And suddenly, a young man squeezed in on that crowded bus begins cursing and really saying inappropriate things out loud, making the people around him uncomfortable. And the driver is driving, he's glancing up in his rearview mirror, and he's noticing that, you know, people are trying to get away from this young man, but I mean, it's crowded and there's nowhere for them to go. And people are feeling uncomfortable by the things he's saying. And we get to a stop, or they get to a stop, and the young man begins to depart from the bus. And the driver says, "Oh, by the way, sir, sorry, you left something behind." "What?" said the young man. And the driver said, "A bad impression. A bad impression." See, dad, men, what kind of impression are you leaving behind? I want to draw your attention this morning to a story in Mark chapter 5. We're going to read it in two parts today, but as we begin to look at the first part, Mark chapter 5 verse 22 says this. "Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, 'My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live.' So Jesus went with him." Here we read about a man who left an impression on his daughter. It was a positive impression. So let's dive into the story as we begin to unpack it. What we find as this story unfolds is we meet a man named Jairus. And we're told he's a religious man. He's a ruler of a local synagogue. And he's also a father with a young girl. See, Jairus had an important position in the synagogue where he worshipped and took place. He was a presiding elder, for lack of a better equivalent term today. The assembly that he worked with and was part of was a synagogue that encompassed the whole community of Capernaum. The position made him a prominent man in that congregation, in that synagogue. He was responsible for the building. He was possibly even responsible for parts of the services that would go on. And he was a respected leader in his community. And that's a key we need to understand. He was a man who was looked at by the Jewish community around him as a respected leader. So what we find here is a man with social position, a man known among the people, a man of prestige and respect, but a man who had a desperate need. He had a desperate need because his little girl, the apple of his eye, she's lying in a bed dying. And maybe those of you who have children, you can identify with the feelings that this father would have had that day, how he was desperate to try and find help for his little girl dying at home. And the first thing we notice in this story is he was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. He went himself personally and he sought Jesus out. Notice that. He didn't send his son. He didn't send his wife. He didn't send an executive assistant. He didn't send somebody with a lower standing in the synagogue. He went himself. He took time out of his day. He took time away from his responsibilities. He took time away from the normal things that he would have to be responsible for that day. He took time and he went out of his way. He went looking for this one called Jesus, the miracle worker, the hope that maybe he had, because he's a dad. He's a father. You see, when you take on the position of a father, you also take on the responsibilities of a father. It's easy maybe to take on the position, but God calls us to take on the responsibilities. Ephesians 6:4 tells us this: "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." I want to share with you a couple of ways that you can spiritually raise up children, spiritually teach them and train them. And so I'll give you 7 quick things here, and I won't dwell on them, but I just want you to take note of them. The first is dedicate your children to God. Now, many of you have possibly been in church when you've seen a baby dedication service, and the parents bring a child up to the front of a church, and we pray over them, and we ask the church to pray over them. What we need to understand is there's a deeper spiritual significance here. So when you bring your child or children and you dedicate them to the Lord, do just that, dads, moms. Realize that that child is a gift from God and mean it when you dedicate them. Because in dedicating, we say, God, this child is yours. Thank you for giving them to me in my life. Thank you for the responsibility. But ultimately, God, they are yours. And if you need to send them on the mission field one day, even though it will break my heart to be so absent from them, I give them to you. Do what you need. Secondly, teach your children to fear. That means to respect the Lord. To have a healthy reverence and respect for God. That God is not the man upstairs. He's not the big dude in the sky. Teach your children to live for God the way you want them to live for God. Protect them from ungodly influences. You see, Satan is out to destroy people. The protection for your child begins when you begin to lift them up in prayer. Fourthly, establish them in a church. You see, if you don't see a need to go to church, if you don't see a need to be faithful, and I know right now our churches are shut down and slowly we're going to probably begin to be reopening them soon and in a smaller capacity, but if you don't show your children the importance, if you're not watching even online every week during this pandemic, why would you expect your children to do what you're not willing to do? Encourage them to live with godly standards. Help them. Help them to understand to turn away from evil and love righteousness. Teach them to hate wickedness. Teach them what God's attitude towards sin is, that sin hurts the heart of God. Teach them about a loving God, a loving Father who loves them and cares for them. Sixthly, show them the importance of living by the Spirit of God. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had Pentecost Sunday. We talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit. Teach your children, show them in your life who the Holy Spirit is and how we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And lastly, it ties it all together. Actually, it's not lastly. I've lost count. Seven. Teach them God has a purpose for their life, a plan, a destiny, a purpose for their being born, that God has put eternity in their hearts from the moment they were conceived. Educate them about the importance of prayer and the Word of God. Don't be afraid to let them see you reading your Bible. Don't be afraid if they overhear you praying for them. It's okay. And lastly, teach them by your life and your actions, not just your words. In other words, let your life be the loudest example of living for God. Let your actions speak louder than your words. Live God before your children so your children will know what it looks like to live for God. Let's go back to our story. We had just noticed that Jairus sought out Jesus and he was doing it regardless of his social position, regardless of the onlookers or the townspeople. Jairus humbly goes and he bows down at the feet of Jesus and he pleads with him, please come to my house. Come lay your hands on my child. She's sick and dying. See, Jairus left an impression on his daughter. He wasn't afraid to seek out Jesus' help. I have to ask you this morning, are you seeking Jesus? Are you willing to let your children know that you have a faith that the one you serve, you have faith in the one that you worship, you have faith in the God of heaven, you have faith in the God of the Bible? Dads, men, women, all of us, we need to be seekers of Jesus. We need his wisdom and his strength and his guidance to help us. And so Jesus sets out and he begins to follow Jairus back to his home. And another thing we notice here in the story is he was not ashamed to bring Jesus into his home. Jairus wasn't ashamed. Now, you and I look at it as we read this story from a long time ago, from a distance far, far away. Well, that's not a big deal. I mean, he invited Jesus and Jesus came, but it was a big deal. Jairus is a leader in the synagogue. Jesus has come and a lot of the religious Jewish leaders were not enamored with Jesus' presence or more so his teachings and the things that he's doing. They didn't understand. It didn't fit into their box. And so Jairus was one of these leaders, but he's at a point of desperation. See, the Jewish leaders and a lot of the people thought that Jesus was just a friend of sinners. Somebody once called him a wine bibber, as if he was just drunk and didn't make any sense. They thought that, somebody even said, the work you're doing by the power of the devil. They didn't understand Jesus. And they didn't understand what was happening. The religious establishment of that day, to them it would be unheard of to invite Jesus into their home, under their roof. But Jairus' daughter saw that her dad cared enough to bring Jesus to her house, to her home. See, we need homes where Jesus is welcome. We need homes, our community, our city, our nation. We need homes where Jesus is brought in, homes where Jesus resides, homes where Christ is welcome. Homes where Christ is more than just a picture on a wall, but he's a place where his presence is acknowledged, where the name of Jesus is honored, where the word of God is obeyed and followed. Regardless of what others say, we need men and women who will rise up and say what Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's continue with our story. I told you we're in the first half, and let's look at the second half beginning in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kohum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. So let's look at what's happening here. News arrives as they're making their way to Jairus' home. A servant comes to him and probably quietly whispers and says to him, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother this teacher anymore." Notice they called Jesus the teacher. And Jesus is overhearing this conversation. They're not talking to him. The Bible says, and Jesus heard their conversation. And Jesus looks at Jairus and he basically says, "Don't worry about this. I got it." I mean, the Bible uses the word, "Don't be afraid. Just believe," which is important. Believe. But Jesus is saying, "I got this." And maybe sometimes you're facing instances and situations in your life and you just need to know that Jesus got it. He's got it for you. He'll walk alongside you. He hears the bad news. He hears the bad report. But Jesus is saying to you, "Don't worry. Just believe. I've got this." So look at what Jesus does as the story goes on. Excuse me. Look at what Jesus did as he comes to the home of Jairus. He sees all this commotion and the wailing and people are crying and they don't understand. And Jesus goes and he drives out those who he did not want there. He drove out unbelief. He drove out doubt. He drove out the negative spirit. He drove out the mourners who represent the spirit of death. Jesus only allowed the chosen few to come with him. He brought those who believed. We're told he brought the three disciples, Peter, James and John. He brought, of course, Jairus and his wife, the parents of this little girl. Remember, it's Jairus who had pleaded at the feet of Jesus, come lay hands on my daughter so she would live. Jairus shows us his faith, and Jesus sees that faith. He's already told him, just believe. And Jesus chooses to bring them, and he goes into that room. Jesus chose who was to be in, and he ran out those who did not belong. Jesus took authority. Are you allowing Jesus to have that kind of authority in your life? Are you giving Jesus the authority that he rightfully deserves? See, he is able to bring about that which he desires and get rid of that which does not belong. I encourage you today to make a decision to allow only those things in your life and your home that will build your faith. Get rid of those things that may hinder you. Get rid of those things that will drag you down. Get rid of those things that will allow unbelief to replace belief. Do what Jesus did. Drive out the unbelief, belief, and bring in the hope that Jesus has. See, Jairus' daughter was going to be impressed with her father. You know, he wasn't ashamed to seek out Jesus. He wasn't ashamed to bring Jesus into their home, and he wasn't ashamed to express his love towards her. What took him from his daughter's side to seek out a Jewish teacher? What compelled him to fall at the feet of Jesus and cry out, I beg you, please come to my house? What would cause a man to forget his high-ranking place in society and do what others think would be beneath him? It was love. It was love that drove this father for the love of a daughter. It's love that said to his daughter, I'll do what I have to do. I'll go where I have to go. I will do everything I can to see that you are made healthy. So we read in the story that Jesus goes in the room and he basically commands this girl to rise, and she does. We're told that she's 12 years old, and we didn't read it, but then Jesus says, feed her and give her something to eat and make her strong. Jesus brings that little girl back from death and into life. We don't know how long she lived, but I believe this. There wasn't a day that went by that that little girl didn't notice first what Jesus did for her, and secondly, how much her father loved her. That he would do anything. He would move heaven and earth if he could to help her. We don't know how long she may have lived, but I'm sure that every day that she lived, she would have woke up in the morning and go, I'm alive because Jesus touched me and my daddy cared for me. Perhaps she grew. We're not told anything about her after this. After she's 12, we don't know a thing about her, but allow our imagination to run, you know. Perhaps she grew up and she married and she had children of her own. And I'm sure if that's the case, I'm sure many times she would have sat around the dinner table with her family and said, did I ever tell you about the time when I was 12 and I died? Did I ever tell you about my dad that loves me? Did I ever tell you about God who loves me and cares for me? I mean, I'm just imagining here, but, you know, she would have told her children about their granddad, about his love. She would have told her children, and maybe even her grandchildren, about a God who loved her, about a man named Jesus who came to this world to show us the love and the power of God so that we could understand it. I'm sure that her life and her living was an example of God's grace and mercy and power. I want you to understand that loving your child is not giving them everything they ask for. That loving your child doesn't mean they get to get shelves full of toys and drawers full of clothes, and although they do need clothes. It's not necessarily having a cell phone or a MacBook Pro or a tablet. But love is sitting with that child and explaining to that child that you are a Christian, that you serve the one named Jesus, that you believe the God of the Bible. Loving that child is teaching them about a God who loves them, showing them the God who loves them. Teaching that child is saying, we go to church because it's important that we belong to a community of faith that believes like us and will encourage us to live for God. Loving your children is showing them that God loves them and it's important. And you do it. You do it not to give them religion. You do it to show them Jesus. You do it not to give them a religious way of life. You do it because you want to give them eternal life and you want them to have eternity with you. So as we review this story real quick, fathers, dads, the rest of us, it's important that we understand that we are not to be ashamed of Jesus, that we are to seek the Lord, that you're to invite Jesus into your home and you're to show your kids that you love them and God loves them. Just as we close this morning, a couple of little things. If you've been listening to this story and you say, Pastor, I've never had anybody tell me about a loving God before. I'm telling you today, God loves you and cares about you. And God wants you to live in relationship with Him. And all you have to simply do is invite Jesus into your life. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I believe in you and I believe what the Bible says about you. I believe what you said. And you simply pray a prayer that I'm going to walk you through right now. So if you want to start a relationship with Jesus, would you pray this prayer? You might be alone, pray it out loud. If you're with people, pray it silently in your mind. But all of us, let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you love me. And I understand that I need to have a relationship with Jesus. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And help me to live in relationship with a heavenly Father who loves me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time or you've not prayed that for a long time, why don't you reach out to me and text me the word love to 416-267-1189, or if you're on our live stream platform, just click the box that's popped up. Just before we close, I want to pray for everyone who's listening, those of you who are watching. I just want to pray for us today. So would you close your eyes one more time? Would you just bow your hearts with me right now? Father, I just come to you. I thank you for all of our dads that have been here today listening. Lord, I thank you for our dads who I work hard. Thank you for the dads who love big. Thank you for the dads who try to serve you to the best of their abilities and live you before their children. I pray for all of our dads that you would bless them, that you would give them wisdom, that you would teach them what it is to love their children the way that you love us. We thank you for all of our dads. We pray for any of our children who right now are not walking in relationship with you, that you would reach out to them by your Spirit today. We call those children back home to Jesus. We call them back to faith and hope. We thank you for them. And Lord, we just thank you for all of our single moms who are probably playing the role of dad. Lord, that you would give them grace and understanding. And you would help them. And we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.